Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Freedom across the state of Wisconsin. Good morning, everyone. I am Todd Albaugh. Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show. Hour number three, along with Mr. Zommers, Aaron Zommers, that is, our producer and engineer. How you been, Aaron?
Pretty good. It's the story that you told at the second half of last hour is always a very impactful one.
Well, thanks. I don't want to bore people, but I think it's important to let people know kind of what your background is, right? What your mission is, and I think just like our boss, Sage Weil, our CEO, who was on the show yesterday, you know, Sage corrected me because I told him, I said, you know, you didn't give me a directive when you hired me that I had to, you know, have a certain bent on things, or all you said was I'd be truthful and have integrity. So I said, you didn't give me, you don't have a mission. And he very quickly corrected me and said, no, I do have a mission. And that is to bring, you know, truthful, quality broadcasting to communities across Wisconsin and just bring factual information to our listeners that combats the lies that are out there. So he's absolutely right. There is a mission, and that is simply to follow the truth, as we say, wherever it may lead, and to bring people the facts. And that's why we're here on this program too, is to kind of peel away the layers of the onion a little bit, to give you a look on the inside, but also to encourage your participation. And one of the things, particularly that our show goes to a large portion of the rural part of the state, I think part of getting our communities back together and moving forward is to understand each other. So I hope people that are currently Republicans call in. And I hope that you give me and give the rest of our listeners your viewpoint, because I think it's important to understand why people and where people come from. Just like it's important for progressives to understand, to get their story out too. And if we start to understand one another, then we can start having a real dialogue between each other to move our communities forward. So if you want to join that discussion, give us a call, 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. You're winning a lotto number. Give us a call to discuss where you think things are going, issue-wise, political-wise, and your viewpoint. Later in this half hour, or at the bottom of the hour, I should say, my former boss, another former boss of mine, former U.S. Congressman Scott Klug, will be in our studio and be talking with us a little bit, giving us his take on what's happened in these midterm elections. And also, as someone who was a Republican elected official, kind of what his take is today on the current landscape. And also, I'm asking about the Packers, because I always ask about the Packers. One of the cool things about Scott was he was and is a real guy. And I think that's what allowed him to have a very successful congressional career and got a lot done as a representative from the state of Wisconsin, because he kept it real and just wanted to get things done. So more with Scott Klug at the bottom of the hour. Weather-wise and traffic-wise, we can tell you that Highway 60 is back open. State Road 60 back open in both directions east of Lodi after the power lines went down there. So again, Highway 60 is back open if you're driving in that direction. So be aware of that. One of the things that we're going to talk about when we come back is some happier news, just a little human interest story. Dolly Parton got $100 million from Jeff Bezos to give away. So in our next little segment, we'll talk about that. And we'll also talk about reflection from the Wisconsin-Iowa Hawkeye football game over the weekend as well. And again, how sports is kind of one of those things that is helping to bring us back together. Weather-wise, many people traveling today. do so carefully, as if you are south of Wisconsin Dells, you're going to see anywhere from 1 to 2 inches of snow today. If you're north of Wisconsin Dells, a trace to 1 inch. Highs are going to be in the 30s, so it's going to be kind of right on that line of freezing and thawing, so just be careful there. And be aware that the roads are going to be a little slickery throughout the state of Wisconsin. So it's the first kind of measurable snowfall. So so be careful out there and just take your time. Also, telling you that results from the elections from last week are continuing to come in and be finalized. Arizona governor race, Katie Hobbs, Democrat, has secured the win there. She is being called the winner now by major outlets, as she has a 20,000-plus vote lead over her Republican challenger, Carrie Lake, the Trump-endorsed candidate. And so it will be Katie Hobbs, the Democrat, being in the governor's chair once again there. In the U.S. Senate right now, the Democrats will maintain control of the U.S. Senate, 50 to 49. One race left to go. That is in Georgia, on my mind. Raphael Warnock and the incumbent there, the Democrat, going up against Herschel Walker, the Republican. That runoff election will be on December 6th to determine whether or not it's 50-50 with Kamala Harris breaking the vote for the Dems, or whether it'll be 51-49. In the U.S. House, it takes 218 to win. Right now, Republicans have 216, Democrats 211. A few races left to be called. Those outstanding are still left be leaning in the Republican direction, so it looks like Kevin McCarthy may or may not be speaker, depending upon his own caucus. We shall see. When we come back, a little story of football and what unites us, and then Scott Klug at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, wherever you are listening to us today, whether it is up in beautiful Amory, Wisconsin on WXCE, on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau on WXCO, or in the RC, Richland Center on WRCE, news from the center. We appreciate you wherever you are, or maybe you're streaming us via the Civic Media app. Go to the Civic Media app, go to other stations, then scroll down to WRCE, click on that, and bada bing, bada boom. Even if you're down in beautiful Texas, there's some Texas listeners today. And so a shout out to Alex and the crew down in beautiful Dallas, Texas. We appreciate you listening in. I said a little happy news here on a Tuesday morning. And I kind of have mixed emotions about this. Dolly Parton is like fantastic, right? I love her to death. I love her music. I love her. I love what she does, her philanthropy. And, you know, Amazon has a place, but Jeff Bezos, I mean, I don't know. I have mixed feelings on him. But legendary country singer and songwriter Dolly Parton has been awarded a $100 million Courage and Civility Award by Amazon founder Jeff Bezos and his partner, Lauren Sanchez. The money is to be directed towards charities that the recipient sees fit, Sanchez said Friday when awarding the award. When people are in a position to help, you should help. And I know that I've always said I try to put my money where my heart is, and I think you do the same thing, Parton said to Bezos when accepting the gift. So 76-year-old music icon, Dolly Parton, she has the Dollywood Foundation. She has done amazing things over the years. And one of the most recent things, she donated $1 million to Vanderbilt University Medical Center to help with the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine. And she was, once that got developed, she actually took the vaccine on camera and was big in getting people to take the Moderna vaccine. Dolly Parton is amazing. She has a book foundation where she sends books to kids in underprivileged communities. Free books. She does. And so if anybody is going to do the right thing with $100 million, it's got to be Dolly Parton, right? So I'm super happy. But at the same time, it's like, you know, some of these workers at Amazon not doing so well. And meanwhile, $100 million gets given away. I don't know. It's kind of mixed emotions. But I'm glad Dolly has that money. And I don't know, Aaron, what do you think? I think she's going to do amazing things with it, right?
Oh, yeah. I have no question about what she's going to do. My feelings about both Dolly Parton and Jeff Bezos are not mixed. Dolly Parton, great. Jeff Bezos, technically he is a human being. That's what I can say about him.
Aaron very rough on Jeff Bezos this morning, but he sent William Shatner into space. You know, I mean,
I know. There is Rocket
that.
Man.
Wouldn't that be great? That would be like an amazing interview to get William Shatner. I went up in space, and it was amazing. That's my William Shatner impersonation. I'm a huge William Shatner fan, a big Star Trek guy. So that would be amazing if we ever get him. Probably not, but we can always take a moonshot. So we shall see. Time 10:18, coming up here in our next segment, we're going to talk to my former boss, one of my former bosses, U.S. Congressman Scott Klug, represented the Madison and South Central Wisconsin area in Congress for 8 years and did some amazing things. Was a Republican in a different way than today. And so kind of going to ask his take on how he sees the landscape today and catch up with him in a few minutes. One of the things that I used to travel around Scott a lot across the district here in Southwest and Southern Wisconsin. He was one of those guys that was just universally liked. And we talked with Ron Fruit from WRCO yesterday, and we talked with Sage Weil, our CEO here at Civic Media. We talked with Kira Sabin yesterday, life coach. And this ongoing discussion of how can we still be, have our partisan beliefs, but kind of connect with our communities and still keep things moving forward. And one of the ways that Scott Klug did that when he was in Congress is he found commonalities. And he had these local educator, teacher awards, where school districts would nominate a teacher, and then we would go out and Scott would give these cool congressional awards to teachers, both in public and private schools in his community. And again, education was something that really wasn't partisan. And Scott found this way to connect with people and say, hey, we have to recognize people who are teaching our kids, and we have to make sure that we're thanking them and that we build good public schools. And so that was one way that he did it. He had another, it was a small business advisory board where we would get people together from both large cities and small towns. They would come together and they would tell Scott what's happening in our communities. I live in a 5,000 town community. I live in Madison. Here's some similarities we're seeing. Here are some things that we're not. Here's how we'd like Congress to help us. He had an agricultural advisory committee bringing farmers and ag producers from across the 2nd Congressional District together, and he would listen to them. And again, he had this remarkable, and part of it was that he was a longtime newscaster, journalist, anchor here at Channel 27. And so he was really good at listening to people, but asking the right questions. And he kept it real. And the thing was that whether it was the Small Business Advisory Council or whether it was the Ag Advisory Board or whether it was the Teacher Awards, whether it was the Military Academy Advisory Board, when we would get together from people from all over the 2nd District, at the time, the 2nd District included roughly all of Dane County, including the city of Madison, Richland County, Sauk County, Lafayette County, Iowa County, part of Greene County. So those of you in northern Wisconsin who aren't familiar, basically from the Illinois-Wisconsin line north up to Madison, and then kind of a little bit north included the city of Columbus, a part of Jefferson County, and then over to just south of Wisconsin Dells. So you had a mix of very rural people in Wisconsin, and then the city of Madison, the most progressive and liberal city in the state of Wisconsin. And Scott Klug represented all of those people, and he got reelected 4 times. Probably the most diverse congressional district in the state of Wisconsin. So how was that? And again, it goes back to finding commonalities that can bring us together. One of the things that I read over the weekend, and one of the things I know Scott loves is sports, right? So football playoffs are coming up. A shout out, by the way, to the Monroe Cheesemakers down in Greene County. They made the state tournament and will be in Camp Randall, I believe, on Friday morning at 10 o'clock. I will don't take that to the bank. I'll check that time for you. But the Monroe Cheesemakers making it all the way to state in football here in Camp Randall Stadium. And sports is one of those things, right, that can unify us. And you say, well, I'm not a sports person. I don't follow. That's fine. That's fine. You can have something else. But I think whether you're a Packers fan, I'm going to the Wisconsin Badger basketball game tonight. When you sit down next to people, there's usually not a lot of political debate going on. So there's an article online by Steve Schmitz, a former Republican operative who is now part of Project Lincoln. And for those of you who don't know, Project Lincoln is kind of a group of perhaps disaffected Republicans like myself, along with a couple of Democrats, and again, together to enlighten and to advance and to elect people who are not part of Trumpism and to have a more enlightened approach. But his daughter, Steve Schmidt's daughter, goes to the University of Iowa. And so he went there and went to his first football game against Wisconsin. Of course, sadly, the Badgers lost. But he writes, I'm not going to read the whole article to you, but he starts by saying American politics is fundamentally broken because, with few exceptions, a generation of American political leaders lost sight of what the business of American politics is about. Their cynicism has contaminated belief and eroded faith in democracy. The American media is as broken and corrupt as American politics. Exceptional reporters are rare as exceptional politicians and ethical business leaders. The Trump industrial complex was born with laughter and phone calls as Donald Trump was given license to lay home in bed and to call into morning shows for easy banter, mild insanity, and thinly veiled expositions. And he goes on to say that sitting next to these Iowa Hawkeye fans in Iowa, they asked him, what do you do? And so he kind of told, I'm a political consultant. I'm on Project Lincoln now. And they said, are you a Republican or a Democrat? He said, well, I used to be a Republican. And so Steve Schmidt says to the guy next to him, he says, are you a Republican or a Democrat? He goes, what are you? The guy says, well, I'm a Republican. And Schmidt said, "Well, how do you feel about Trump?" And the guy, I won't use the expletive on the air, but he says essentially, you know, forget about Trump. I'm not a Trump guy. He says, "Can I buy you a beer?" And by the way, apparently they sell beer at the stadium at the Iowa Hawkeye games. So I mean, that's what the heck. But so they had a beer together, and later on, he ran into a person who was a Democrat. The point is that at the Iowa football game, the planes flew over. It was Veterans Day weekend. There was a homage to veterans. Everybody stood up, took their hat off, sang the national anthem. The B-1 bombers flew over. The hair raises to the back of your neck. They had that cool tradition in Iowa where you get up, I think it's the end of the first quarter, and you wave to the kids in the children's hospital, and everybody does that. And in that stadium at the Hawkeyes football game, there are Republicans and Democrats and libertarians and constitutionalists, but they all are unified around this commonality that you're there to enjoy a game, you're there to support kids, you're there to support the men and women in our military. And Steve Schmidt's point is that's what we have to get back to in this country. Colin Powell, who I had the honor to meet via Scott Klug, when Powell endorsed him, I think last Scott, but I think it was in his last race, 96. Colin Powell was one of the coolest people I ever met because he was real. And I read his autobiography, and I'm paraphrasing now, but at the end of Colin Powell's autobiography, he tells this great story. Aaron, how much time do we have, by the way?
Just over a minute.
But, so the quick version is that Powell tells about this time when he was in the military, and Sam Donaldson asked a young lieutenant, are you ready for the war, the invasion before the Iraq war? And he says, yes, we're a family here. We're ready. And Powell says, you know, the young lieutenant said, you know, we're a family. We're ready. We can do this. And Colin Powell says, that's what we have to get back to, being a family. We have to stop screeching at one another and start finding ways to come together in our communities. We have to stop yelling at each other, stop hating one another, and find those larger things that make us uniquely American, uniquely Wisconsin, to come together. One of the people in my life that has influenced me and brought people together was Scott Klug, former United States Congressman. He's here. He'll join us next. Stay with us on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. On the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network by my former boss, former U.S. Congressman Scott Klug. Welcome back and welcome in on a snowy Tuesday after morning, the 15th of November, 2022. If you're on the roads today, do so carefully. We're expecting 1 to 2 inches of snow below the line south of Wisconsin Dells, a trace up to an inch above that line. Before the break, I've been talking earlier today kind of about my journey in politics and a longtime Republican, and decided to leave the party after voter ID and witnessing some stuff at the state capitol, but still holding a lot of the same values. I told Sage and Critty when I got hired, I really don't think other than abortion and guns, I've really changed my opinion on much. But I'm just the same person, but you know, the GOP just isn't the place for me. But a lot of the place that I got my influence, not just in politics, but we were talking about this right before the show. I'd say the three men that were most influential in my life, my dad, Bo Ryan, Scott Klug, and Dale Schultz. And because they really taught me a lot besides politics. And so I am honored and happy to welcome in my former boss and former United States Congressman, Scott Klug, to our studio today. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Todd. Good morning. Congrats on the new gig.
Thanks. I appreciate it. You're looking fantastic. You're like Dick Clark of politics. You never age.
Yeah. Well, I remember the last couple of shows, Dick Clark. And I'm not sure that's a compliment.
I wasn't referring to that. But yes. All right. Fair enough. One of the things that I would talk about yesterday, we're going to continue to talk about, because every show has its place, and I think there's room for shows that are more aggressive and kind of get into, the aggressive discussions of partisan politics. And I'm not going to back away from calling people out on either side of the aisle on kind of BS, but one of the things that I think is important, there's room for, is a show to kind of explore ways that we can come together as well as communities. And before the break, I was talking about having worked for you back in the 90s. One of the things that struck me that I think people can learn from today is the fact that you connected to all your community in rural Wisconsin, in Madison here. You probably had, yes or no, the most diverse district in the state.
But I'm not ignoring your question. I'm thinking, yeah, probably. So my district back in the days, because right, it's been changed a lot in redistricting, was that a third of it was the city of Madison, a little more than a third. The other third was the balance of Dane County. And then the third was final third was the outlying areas. And what happened in my race that I figured out, which you couldn't do because the district has changed so much, is you could tie in Dane County, right? If you could win in Sun Prairie, you could win in Verona, you could win in all the collar communities and sort of tie Madison, you'd be fine. And the other thing, when I ran, fortunately I was young enough, and the campus was, I think, a little bit different back then, is you could, as a Republican, actually do well on campus if you ran as a moderate. And so that was the other deciding factor. Now, could I run today in today's current district? I doubt it. A, because of politics, and B, the way the map looks.
And I think that's the point that you hit on. I've talked about this before. You were a pro-choice Republican, and you voted in favor of the 94 assault weapons ban when Bill Clinton was president. You had positions that were in touch with your... I remember when I was just a volunteer before I worked for you, you called me as just a Republican activist in Richland County and said, hey, Todd, what do you think about the assault weapons ban? And you called around your district, and you took some heat from your Republican base when you voted for that.
Well, I mean, I think it's what, if you're not making somebody angry any day of the week, you're not doing your job right. I mean, you get paid to make difficult decisions. And, I, you know, the one thing that disappoints me with candidates more than anything else is consistency, right? I think you've got to figure out what your core values are and you stick to them. And that's what I did. I mean, I'm from the libertarian wing of the Republican Party. I don't like the government in my life or my business or my bedroom or anything else. I'm one of those like run the army and the military and deliver the mail and take care of the healthcare system. And thanks to the rest of you, you can all get lost now. And so I'm completely frustrated by the level of government involvement in my life on a daily basis. And that makes me a conservative with a small c. And ran primarily because I worry about fiscal issues, and I've now got my first granddaughter, and I'm trying to figure out how in the hell she's going to pay the federal debt when we keep throwing trillions of dollars around like it's small pocket change.
So do you still consider yourself a Republican?
Yeah, I tend to vote Republican almost exclusively, and in some cases I don't vote.
So, because my other former boss, Dale Schultz, same thing. I'll ask him, I'm like, why don't you just say the heck with it? And but he's on. His position is, well, first of all, why do you still stand it?
Well, but you have to look at both parties and figure it out, right? Ron Kine, who represented Wisconsin for years, who just retired, and his district is now run by a Republican, is wildly different than somebody who represents Brooklyn, like the Squad. But they're not from the same party. When I was in office, I didn't have a lot in common with a lot of Southern Republicans. And when I got elected, I mean, I was a moderate Republican in Madison. There was a moderate Republican in Iowa City. There was a moderate Republican in Ann Arbor. And I think what we did was say, look, I'm going to take positions that I believe strongly in, but one of the positions I believe strongly is you've got to reach out to people to get things done. So while I'm a small government, small letter S, small letter G, the trains still have to run on time. I mean, you have to get stuff done. And so I think you have to have a responsibility to make sure the government works, as I would not vote to expand government. And I do my best when I was there to dismantle as much of it. When I left Congress, it was interesting. You get all kinds of questions from headhunters. What do you want to do? And I got a call one day from somebody who represented the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, because I'd spent 14 years in television near Wausau when I first got out of school, in Seattle and D.C., and then I came back home to Wisconsin. And they said, we think it'd be interesting. Would you like to be considered to be the president of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting? And I said, you may want to get a better research department, because when I was in office, I sponsored a bill to eliminate the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, as I did the Tennessee Valley Authority and an attempt to privatize the U.S. Post Office. So I think the government, what little of it remain in it if I ran the world, should be run efficiently. But on the other hand, we've got to start scaling the government back.
But see, that's the thing. And people hearing this, that there may be people that never heard of you because they weren't around in the 90s. It happens to me all the time. Like, I was, before this gig, I was at LLB and I was working with college kids. And I'd say something about, George Bush. They'd be like, I wasn't born yet.
Yeah.
It's like, I got that going for me. But the thing is, what you're saying today is the exact same thing you used to tell me when we drive around in the Ford Explorer at Mineral Point. You haven't changed your views. To your point, consistency. And I think that's something that people respect, whether you always agree with each other or not, as long as you're consistent. We were talking about earlier today, Tim Michaels was an absolutist on abortion in this governor's race, looked at the poll numbers and said, oh, geez, we had it earlier amongst Republicans. Where was it? Here. Amongst Republicans, 73% of Republicans in the Marquette Law School poll a week before the election said that they were in favor of allowing rape, incest, or endangerment of a mother's life. Republicans. So, I mean, he carved out this terrible position, and then he flip-flops. He's not consistent.
Well, I think if you look at Wisconsin, it's interesting. People don't remember, but when Trump ran in the primary first time around, he did not win Wisconsin. And he didn't win Wisconsin specifically because the WOW counties, which are moderate suburban Republican voters, all voted against Trump. And so linking yourself to Trump and doing rallies with Trump in Waukesha, Wisconsin, I always thought was a mistake. And at the end of the day, it came back and bit him. And if you look at the drop-off in votes for Johnson versus the votes for Michaels, both of them position themselves as conservatives. Ron's no shrinking violet by any stretch of the imagination. No. But for Michaels, because he was so closely attached to Trump, I mean, I haven't seen the crosstabs to look at this specifically, but my guess is there's a substantial drop off from Johnson to Michaels in all of those Milwaukee suburban districts.
Yeah. So looking at tonight, supposedly, Trump's going to announce his intent to once again seek the nomination in 2024. Looking at kind of postmortem of the midterms here and Trump's candidates, including Kerry Lake in Arizona, did not do well. And to your point, where does that put the Republican Party in 2024?
Well, look, if you go back and look at the Trump election in 16, it was pretty clear that if it had been a binary choice, right, if Trump had been running against Jeb Bush or Scott Walker or Ted Cruz or any number of folks, I'm not convinced he ever would have gotten the nomination. So the challenge for Republicans, assuming Trump sticks with this and runs, is if it's a multi-party primary candidate, the odds are going to be Trump's going to win again because he's going to walk into the room with 34% of the vote. But if it's Trump and DeSantis or Tim Scott or, hey, you know, or Nikki Haley, whoever you want to choose, I think Trump will have a very hard time. And so it'll be interesting to see how the Trump world will encourage multi-candidate primaries. And to some degree, the party will shoot itself in the head if we don't give it a choice. And I think you saw in this election that just happened that the people who were closest to Trump had a tough time surviving. And if you look in Georgia, Brian Kemp wins in a walk, and Walker can't get to 50%. If you look in Ohio, where the incumbent Republican governor wins with wins by 23%, and he barely pulls the Republican candidate over the line. If you look in Pennsylvania, actually, Governor Oz did very well, but he had such a bad gubernatorial candidate that it pulled him down and he couldn't win. And it's the same story in New Hampshire. I meant, my God, Sununu won by double digits again. So I think that while Trump has a stronghold on a fraction of the Republican Party and a very loyal base, I don't think it reflects the party as a whole. And I think you're going to see that fight really start tonight.
But when is the party, Scott, going to grow a pair and stand up to him? I mean, you know as well as I do, and I'm not going to ask you to name names because you're still in the business, not as an elected official, but I know people at the state capitol. I'm sure you know people in Washington, Republicans, elected officials, senators, U.S. congressmen, who will tell you in the halls or out to dinner, man, Trump's an idiot, or you know, I can't stand him. I know a state senator who could not stand Scott Walker, but would vote with him every single time because they're too afraid not to be senator or too afraid not to be congressman. You have a life. You had a life. You took a pledge to limit yourself, term limit yourself, and you walked away after winning your last race with 70% of the vote, and you chose not to run. You limited yourself. You had a life. You weren't afraid to lose. And so you could take some of these positions. My problem is these Republicans who will say privately they're not in favor of Trumpism, but continue to support it. And this guy is an insurrectionist. This guy rose up and was everything that you taught me, that you showed me, that American politics should not be about. And yet people continue to support him in the Republican Party.
That's their right, Todd. So since you've abandoned the Republican Party, you have no right to be part of the family fight. I do.
I can still throw stones from outside.
Well, you can. That's fine.
But you're consistent. I mean, I talked to Dale Schultz. I know Steve Gunderson, former U.S. Congressman from the 3rd Congressional District. He didn't want to come out and endorse Brad Pfaff directly because he has this fantasy that somehow the Republican Party is still salvageable. Is it?
Well, I think you have recency bias, right? I'm serious. I mean, folks are consumed in the moment. I don't think he's a long-standing character. I mean, the history of the United States where people who were president lost a race and then tried to come back again as president today, it's been a train wreck everywhere. Only one of them managed to get reelected.
Grover Cleveland, right.
Teddy Roosevelt lost and ended up getting second and a third. I think the interesting question will be, if Trump doesn't win the Republican primary, does he run as an independent to try to poison the well, which I don't think is outside of the realm of possibility. But the record of third-party candidates for presidential peaked with Ross Perot, and it never really was very close. So at the end of the day, I don't think you can see the entire Republican Party through the prism of folks who are Trump allies and mm-hmm. Trump cheerleaders. I think that's a very small group of the Republican Party. Back to my point, I think if Trump ends up in a one-on-one primary fight with Ron DeSantis or somebody else, he will lose.
Interesting. Do you have time to stay with us for another 5-10 minutes?
Sure.
I got to take off. All right.
If you double my fee for appearing today.
Done. Double of zero is zero. When we come back, I'm going to switch gears a little bit and ask Scott ways that we can bring our communities together. Because like I said, he was a master of it back in the 1990s. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This one, Camilla.
The lost drummer of James Brown's band, Scott Klug, is with us here on the Todd Allball Show for a Tuesday, November 15th. My former boss and former U.S. Congressman, a Republican from Madison, Scott Klug, joins us. Really, you wanted to be a drummer for James Brown?
I did. I spent a lot of my misspent youth in R&B bands in Milwaukee, and then when I was in college, I played. I still have two drum sets in my basement. And so my goal was, not with any seriousness, because Clyde Stubblefield had it nailed down, who actually spent years in Madison as James Brown's drummer. In fact, his drumsticks are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because he did the riff on The Funky Drummer, which is the most sampled song used in rap songs today.
I did not know that.
There you go.
As Johnny Carson once said.
So that was
Scott.
Everybody has unfulfilled dreams, and that one will never happen. So
Scott was part of a congressional band for a while.
I was with in a band which had, among other notables, Joe Scarborough of MSNBC fan, who was a bass player, John McHugh, who later became the Secretary of Army, who was the rhythm guitarist. Jim Nussel, who was a Republican congressman from Iowa, Colin Peterson, who was a Democrat from Western Minnesota, and it was fun. We used to play at charity events around Washington and, played a list of every bad 60s and 70s song, which you'd all played in bands when we were kids.
That's awesome. See, keeping it real, Scott Klug. I want to get into the unity factor, but I want to touch on one more thing from the last segment, Scott, and it's my personal frustration, and maybe it's just Todd having a therapy session, but I think there's other people out there as well. I'm not saying that I want to get rid of a two-party system. I think debate, and you have to have healthy debate on both sides. My frustration is that the party that I spent the majority of my life working for, as a closeted gay man for years, put my personal happiness aside for the good of the party because I thought that was the right thing to do. So I gave up a lot. To elect guys like you, Dale Schultz, Steve Gunderson, all of whom did, in my opinion, great. I don't regret any of that because you all did really great things. I mean, we don't have to get into the whole story, but when I was working for you, through you, with your help, we helped a local guy from Wisconsin get a prosthetic leg that he would have never gotten without your office's help. He went on to win a gold medal in the Paralympics and went on to finish his career in the Marine Corps. There are every time I drive through, there's a quick story. My first year working for Scott, I was like 25, I think, something like that, 26. I hadn't even been there a year. And Portage, the city of Portage, Scott represented, was trying to get a new levy. And Scott didn't do pork. It was like, I'm not going to put things in the budget. But we kind of used our office at times, not always with him knowing, to kind of put some influence. And so I, as a 25, 26-year-old kid, here I am talking to somebody, the Army Corps engineers, and Republicans had just gotten control of the House. And I'm like, if this doesn't happen, my boss is going to be like reviewing your budget and all this crap, and just kind of being a jerk. Well, anyway, the long story short, the Portage levee got built. And every time I go through the city of Portage, I'm like, look, this dike and this levee has saved countless homes and businesses because Scott Klug was in office. So, I mean,
I would have fired you, Todd.
Right. Here's my interview with Scott. I went into his office, and he said, hey, great to see you, Todd. He said, so here's the drill. I hire really good people, and then I let you do your job. And if you mess up, I bring you in, tell you what happened, knock you side the head, and give you a strike, and you're on your way. You get three strikes, and you're out. Any questions? I said, nope. He goes, great. Welcome aboard. That was my entire interview to work for Scott Kluge. I only got one strike. So that wasn't too bad.
There you go. Yeah.
But the point is that that you did a lot of good. Dale Schultz, Steve Gunderson, those people did a lot of good. So here's my beef. And we were pointing out or talking after the break that they, or during the break that you feel there are people who are still doing good in the Republican Party. My problem is this. Donald Trump changed, in my opinion, what the Republican Party does in terms of meanness, of making fun of people with disabilities, of being cruel, of going after minorities and immigrants. Why can't anybody in the party stand up to that crap and do more of what you did?
Todd, look at, there are great Republican governors all over the country doing wonderful things. Larry Hogan was probably one of the best governors in the country, in Maryland, had to leave because he was term limited. Same thing with the governor of Massachusetts. Look at Mike DeWine, who won by 25% in Iowa. Look in Ohio. Look at Brian Kemp, who won with overwhelming numbers. Look at what DeSantis did. Carried every county except three in Florida, including heavily Democratic Hispanic districts.
But he bust people or flew people to Martha's Vineyard and used people to make a political point.
You know what? I'm with him on that one. The Democratic Party has refused to do anything about the border. You've got all kinds of mayors and city councils proclaiming themselves as sanctuary cities. God bless you. Now you solve part of the problem in your sanctuary city. They're overwhelmed by 200 people who show up in Chicago. The mayor of Boston and Washington, D.C. was in a panic because they had 400 refugees. That's a mourning in South Texas.
But don't you think is there something wrong with using human beings to score political points?
In contrast to calling yourself sanctuary cities to try to say that that's the way you score political points? It's a fallacy. The border is uncontrollable. I mean, I think Trump is a knucklehead, but he's dead right on the border. I mean, if you can't control the borders of your own country, you have no country.
Well,
Todd, there go the illusions.
Scott Kluge telling us what he really thinks, and that's great. That's fine. I disagree with that. So
how many illegal immigrants should be able to come a day, a month, a year?
Here's what I think. When I worked for you, one of the issues I handled was immigration. And I went with Eve Galanter from Senator Cole's office down to Chicago, and we sat there, and I saw firsthand that Congress didn't appropriate enough funds to hire enough people to make the legal system work. So after a long time, I went to El Salvador and stood in line with people at the embassy and saw how bad the system is. So after a while, if you just want to be with your family in the United States and do what's right and be an immigrant, aren't you going to get frustrated and just do it the illegal way? We have to fix our system here in the country before we start pointing fingers south of the border.
Well, that's an interesting tactic to take. Look, as a member of the United States Congress, it's my responsibility to uphold the law. And we've had a very robust legal immigration system here for hundreds of years. That's not an illegal immigration system. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how long Afghan refugees and Ukraine refugees, because I've been actively involved in advocating for both of those groups, for the last year have had to wait their turn in line to come to the United States. These were folks who were interpreters for the United States military. They're Ukrainian refugees who, if they don't get out in a timely basis, are going to get shot and killed by Russian soldiers. They stand in line to get in here. I understand the economic problems in Latin America and in South America and especially in Central America, but the point is there's a legal immigration system and people should stick with it. And I feel terribly sorry for the mayors of Washington, D.C. who have to put up with 300 immigrants. Ask the folks on the borders in Arizona and in Texas what it looks like on a daily basis.
And that's why we have to have a healthy discussion between people with differing ideas. And that's what should happen in America. It should happen in Wisconsin. Scott Kluge did it great as a congressman. He continues to do it. Scott, thanks so much for stopping by. I really, really appreciate it.
Todd, it was great. Appreciate it very much. And we'll leave you with George Clinton and Funkadelic.
Scott Kluge, secretly a DJ here on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.